Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Talking about developing authentic community. We're going to talk about some things today. We're going to get into kind of group discussions, and we're going to talk about some things. We'll see how far we get. But I want to challenge you in some areas that the Lord's been challenging me in. We talk about authentic community, and you know that can mean, you know, how many people are here? 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 16, 17. That can mean 17 different things. So it's important that we understand when we're talking about authentic community inside of a local church, what does that actually mean? What does that look like? So we're going to get into these things in the weeks to come. And it never ceases to amaze me when I see the nature of Father infuse itself into this subject, and it changes how we've been raised. It changes the theologies that we've come to adopt as the truth. And my desire and my hope is during this series that He does that for you. Because I think that, you know, even this last week, we had a conversation, you know, my sisters and I. I don't even know how the subject came up, but somebody had mentioned theology, and somebody said, oh, I love theology. And inside of me, I'm thinking, I hate theology. Because theology, all theology does, you know, for the most part, and you understand what I mean when I say that, is it basically just tells you what He doesn't do and who He isn't anymore. And that's not true. So, you know, the interesting thing about it, I'll just be honest with you, I didn't say a whole lot about God the whole time I was there. Except for the last few days. And my sister brought it up. She said, you know, now granted, we were all raised in the same church, same exposure to everything. And they no longer go because somewhere along the way, somebody probably got a spirit of stupid and treated him badly. Not saying that's an excuse, but that's just is. And so she said, as we're sitting in her living room, she said, you know, you talk different than what I'm used to. Now, a lot of stuff you say is pretty deep, you know, and I've got to the place honestly where I hate that phrase because it usually means I don't have a clue what you're saying, you know. But that's not really what she meant, and she basically opened the door and I said, well, since you brought it up, I'll just kind of show you where I'm coming from and contrast the difference. And so I just began to talk about Father as a person and His presence, not just an idea we believe in. It's just He is. If we'll cultivate that relationship with Him as somebody who's real, not just an idea you put in your head, shows up. You know, our challenge is, quite frankly, folks, is we a lot of times we'll lock into the natural arena, what we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears, and those things, because we do live in that arena, and that's kind of where we are most of the time. But we'll relate to the things we read in the Word of God as true, but we only go as far as, this is just what I believe. Well, that still hasn't permeated into it's actually so. So what happens is we live life in the natural. We relate more with natural things, natural events, natural everything. But we have a secret belief system behind the scenes that is ours and ours alone. But it really still has nothing to do with the real person of Him. He is real. Angels are real. Holy Spirit is real. They have emotions. They have feelings. They're real. They're not just ideas. And so I just kind of talked to her about a lot of this kind of thing. I'm going to believe God that the Spirit of God and the presence of God is just going to flood her family. Because people want the real. They don't want an idea. I was raised on ideas. They suck. Because then it's just your idea versus my idea. And how dare you judge my idea? Because my idea is me. And if you're judging my idea, you're judging me. And how dare you judge me? What we've become comfortable with in the body of Christ is we concoct this idea of our own personal God. And it's funny because He never sounds any different than you. He never has any different ideas than you. You're always the one that's right. Well, that's completely unmeasurable. I can go into the Word and I can teach you things from the Word, but if it doesn't match your own personal pocket God and what He's telling you and what you think He's saying to you, then what I'm saying is irrelevant. See, all those things, they just come from concepts. We've got to come to the place where we step out of concepts and pursue the real person. And I heard it said this way, and I'll get into my notes here in a minute, but I heard it said this way. You know, a lot of times we get so used to this idea where we have to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? We go out and we live amongst, you know, the giants of the land, and we're trying to ask God, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that, but at some point, I mean, if you had children, and some of you that have children and have them, they're this age, think about this idea. How would it make you feel if you had a daughter and then at the time that your daughter was old enough to get married, she came to you and said, well, can you just pick my husband? I don't trust myself. How would that make you feel as a parent? Boy, have I failed. She can't even make her own decision. That's the way God is. Shelby and I were talking about this last night. Have you ever had a situation where you're trying to press in and get an answer from the Lord and it's like He went mute? Nothing. What's going on there? He's telling you by His silence, look, I trust my nature in you. You make the decision and I'm right behind you. It's not the mark of maturity to constantly be asking Him, what should I say? What should I do? What should I? The mark of maturity is you learn how to walk in the nature He gave you and you trust that what He gives you inside of you is the right direction. You just go for it. And He's behind you because He trusts what He put in you. At some point in time, folks, when we raise our kids, we have to trust what we put in them. Father's no different. He wants to stand back and participate with you, not tell you what to do, what to say every moment. Because everything that He is, everything that He's about, is all about relationship. It's not principles. It's relationship. So therefore, if we're going to talk about authentic community has to be about, it has to revolve around relationship. You know, we've kind of reviewed and we've talked about the fact that the early church, the first century church, what was true for them was that they expected the God of glory to show up in their lives. They expected Him to be amongst them and to show up amongst them. He wasn't just a concept that they said they believed in. He had a history of showing up in their midst all the time. What happens when a local church develops a culture where we expect Him to show up in our midst all the time? The second thing that was obvious in the first century church was the fact that they lived in awe of Him as the biggest one in the room. And I'm talking about physically in the room. Whatever room that is, He's the biggest one there. How does that affect us? It affects us because if He's the biggest one in the room and we recognize that He actually is in the room, it affects how we interact with each other. It affects how we talk to each other. It affects how we talk to our spouses. It affects how we talk to everybody around us. Paul told in one of his letters, he says, the Lord is at hand, which means He's right here right now. If you read the writings of Paul, he was constantly talking about what I'm speaking to you in the presence of Him. How would our conversations go with those around us, our spouses, our friends, our whoever it was, the people you don't know? How would our conversations go if we recognized, and it was our culture, we recognized that He's in our midst right now, right here, right now? Things we wouldn't say. There'd be ways we wouldn't say them. It's interesting, James brought this out, the brother of Jesus, when he, in James chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, what we've labeled James 4, 10 and 11. And that is, he said, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. It says, you know, He'll exalt you. But notice it says this, do not speak against one another. Well, being in the presence of the Lord and speaking to one another is tied together there. See, all of these things, these are all the foundational principles of what becomes authentic community. When we ignore these things, that's when inauthentic community happens, and that's when people get hurt. The challenge that we have, and I can't speak for every single person, and I can't speak for, you know, nations that are outside of the Western world, but I can say this as a principle, as across-the-board principle, that what you find is folks that really are unfamiliar with Him, they live by principles, they don't live by relationships. Those principles are their filter. And they'll run everybody through those principles they've adopted. And it's just because they're not familiar with Him. But we don't want it to show that we're not familiar with him. So we put together, you know, how many folks have lived with people that they've basically created a whole order of the way things should be, and the way people should think, and the way people should, and you just fill in the blank. The reason that's there is because they're unfamiliar with him. They're not living out of a relationship with him. I'm not talking about an idea of him. I'm talking about a real connection with him. They're not living from that place. They're living from a place of, you know, well, these are the principles that I know I'm supposed to conduct myself by. This is my own opinion of how I think things should be. And a lot of times, so much of that is just simply self-protection. When you find folks that are, how many have ever met somebody who was, quote, discerning? You know that every human being on the planet is discerning? Even people that aren't even, quote, born again believers. Because a human being is wired to pick up on that stuff. The difference between somebody who's born from above, has the DNA of daddy, has the Spirit of God in them, and somebody who's just a natural human being, the difference being is the natural human being can discern things, but they cannot go into the heart of Father and say, what do you have to say about this? And get direction on how to pray things out because of what they discern. Challenge with folks that live from a place of discernment is they never go past the discernment, so they set up all these walls. And all those walls, every plank of those walls are things they, quote, discern. And they're usually always negative. So when you're asking those kind of people to live, you know, to live not from a place of, you know, if you're going to discern things that are negative, chances are you're probably focused too much on the negative. As you get away from that, you'll start discerning the things that God's wanting you to discern. And then you go to Him with those things and ask Him, what's in your heart about these things? What do you want me to say? How would you like me to pray these things out? See, that's the proper cycle. But see, that takes relationship. And if there's one thing that the fall did is it damaged human beings and made them sensitive about that connection. We have, as a local church, we have to do two things well. Number one, we have to move beyond only wanting to be in the midst of strangers because nobody knows me, and I like that better. We have to move into wanting to be amongst each other because it really doesn't matter. But we also have to be willing to get outside the four walls and connect with people out there. Both of those instances take the ability to want to have a relationship, and not just guarded ones where I'm only going to let you know the part of me I want you to know. Because if we sing about, you know, that in the presence of the Lord there's freedom, all this, what does that look like? Most of the time, we really don't know. We just like singing about it. Because we're too busy holding everybody off. I don't want you to know this part of my life. I don't want you to know me here. I don't want you to know me. Well, then the presence of the Lord's not there. Because where the presence of the Lord is freedom. Does this make sense? So, we want to live from a place of relationship with Him. Everything about Him, everything that comes from Him, everything is based on that connection of relationship. Not principles of doing this right or doing that right or not doing this wrong. And here's a challenge. I heard somebody say this. I thought it was just so fantastic. Because it applies to today, it applies to everything that is. It applies to our whole entire culture as human beings. And that is those who are not looking at what God has done or what He's doing, everybody say doing, are only going to focus on what's not happening. Especially, you know, yeah, I'll just go and step over here. Especially when it comes to, you know, what we see going on our news channels every day of the week. I heard somebody say something I thought was so amazing. They were talking about Martin Luther King, and they said, you know, Martin Luther King, if you listen to what he was saying, he was prophetic. Not pathetic, but prophetic. Because what he was seeing was out of the heart of Father. He was simply declaring what he saw Father seeing. See, we have to live from a place of seeing what Father's seeing, seeing what He's doing. I mean, we can't live life only focusing on what's not right, what's not done, and where we're not going. Whether it's in our society as a whole or with each other. It doesn't work. Because that's not based from relationship, that's based from principles. Does this make sense? I also heard this said, I thought it was interesting. Many people are pursuing the gifts of the Spirit, or you could say, even in line with, say, the prophetic things, unveiling the mind of Father. That's what prophecy means, unveiling the mind of Father. Many people are pursuing these things, and they're about as close to God as they are with their yearbook friends. or nowadays you could say your Facebook friends. Let me tell you something. Facebook, if you're conversing with somebody on Facebook, you're not really, there's no relationship there. You're just, and the sad thing is so much of the generations nowadays, that's what they consider relationship. But it's not. So we've become comfortable with this connect, this ideal about God that really, the Bible, when we read the Bible, it's our Facebook. And we're really not conversing. We're not really developing a relationship with Him. We're just liking the things He's posting. You might as well say amen. Here's what I thought was interesting. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, we'll kind of start there. It says, For even as the body is, everybody say it, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, they're one body, so also is Christ. Notice that, so also is Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews, Greeks, fill in the blank, anything else, white, black, red, green, black and blue, whether slaves or free, we were all made to, what? Drink of one Spirit. How many spirits?
One.
Verse 20. But now there are many members, but there is...
One.
Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, verse 22. It is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable... Let's just change it and let's just say it like this. Those in the body we deem to be... not as smart as me. They don't think like me. They don't have my standards. These we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Why? Because, remember, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the entire body, they're all connected together, but they're all receiving of the same supply. Do you realize that this picture of one body hooked together? Let me ask you a question. Everybody look at your arm. Now, what's connecting the lower part of your arm with the top part of your arm? Are they connected? Is anybody's arm not connected? We'll pray for you right now. It's connected, right? So he's given us a picture of relationship. But from that relationship comes all of the giftings. Because we're all being supplied by the same Spirit. And it doesn't matter whether it's some in the body that, well, they don't have my standards. They don't think like me. They're not as smart as I am. They're not, fill in the blank. He's saying they have the same supply of the Spirit of God that you do. So therefore, if that's the case, then we should never hear these kind of conversations in our midst. Well, if I was them, I would. But you're not them. And the head is well able to take care of the other part of the body. Because you're all... on the same level. You're all connected to the head. The head is the supply. The spine is the Spirit of God. We've all been created to drink from the same Spirit. Where we run into challenges is when we remove the things that come from the Spirit of God out from this platform of relationship. That's when we get into problems. Verse 25, it says, so that there may be no division in the body, the same members may have the same care for one another. Why? Because we all have the same supply. This is why, folks, I don't want you to have this mindset that, well, some people are gifted in word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Some people are gifted in the area of the prophetic. Some people are gifted in the gifts of healings, working in miracles. Some people are gifted in any of the ones that were mentioned previous to us, what we're reading right here in this same chapter. Because that's not true. It may be convenient, but it's not true. Because we're all one body hooked together. How many times did he say this before we got to this verse? You're all one body. That means you all have relationship one with another. You're all connected together. We're all drinking of the same Spirit. All of the manifestations that belong to the Spirit of God that come through Jesus, from the Father, they all flow through every part of the body. If you have any part of your body that's not getting blood flow, we got a problem. If you've got any part of your body that's not connected to the nervous system, what happens? Starts acting crazy. It's likewise in the body of Christ. When you get people that aren't connected to Him with the relationship, they start acting crazy. And it disrupts what we call authentic community. I love verse 26. There it is. It says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Folks, that's authentic community. The reason why we want God to be the biggest thing in the room, and the reason we want to glorify Him and all of that and keep that as our culture, is because then that keeps us from elevating ourselves in the eyes of ourselves. And that's not saying you put yourself down either, because if He was in your presence, He would not be putting you down. So don't you dare do that to yourself. There's something really twisted, folks, when we think humility is, I put myself down. That's twisted. But we want Him to be the biggest thing in the room, and we want to value Him and honor Him as that, because that keeps us on the same level with everybody else in the body, because we're all under the head. I don't care if you're the ear or the eye on the body of Christ, you're still subject to the brain. So it affects how we interact with each other. It affects when somebody is celebrating something, then we get alongside of them. And if they're celebrating it, we celebrate it. We don't say, well, if it was me, I would have done. Why is that happening? That's happening because you forgot that he's the biggest one in the room, not you. So if somebody's going to celebrate something, let's celebrate that with them. If somebody's going to grieve, let's grieve with them. I'm not saying you get in their hole, you get in the mud pile and you roll around for months and 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 months. Because at some point, you got to be the one standing outside the mud hole with your hand out and pulling them out. Right? Verse 27, now you are Christ's body and individual members of it. Earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I'll show you still a more excellent way. And then he goes into talking about the nature of love that He put in you and how from that nature of love. Now, granted, that nature of love is not going to be there if the relationship's not there, because you're not going to walk in that. So everything is founded, everything is cemented in, grounded in a relationship with Him. Notice what John said in 1 John. Very, very interesting. And I can say I've never quite read them this way. For this is the message which you've heard from the beginning. How many know if it's a message from the beginning, it's never changed? That we should love one another. Now notice what he said here in that's verse 11 in 1 John 3. Notice what he said in 1 John 3:14, a couple of verses down. We know that we have passed, I'm going to read all the yellow part. We know that we've passed into life. Everybody say into life. Because we love the brother. Now, at least you think you know what that verse says. Think about it like this. What John is saying through the Spirit of God is, how you treat each other will reveal what kind of connection you really have with Him. How you treat each other will reveal what kind of connection you really have with Him. That's what he's saying here. We know that we've passed out of death into life because, everybody say because. That means there's an effect that is there. There's a result that's there because of something else. In the garden, there was the tree of life, and there was the tree of that which is to be known about good and evil. The challenge is man chose to live out from under the tree of that which is to be known about good and evil, so that's their filter now. They think righteousness is whether or not you do all the things that are good and not evil. But the challenge is they can change what evil is anytime they want. And that's our culture today. We decide what's evil, and then we try to coerce everybody and manipulate everybody emotionally or however else into steering away from that because we said it was evil, so you better not go there. The problem is that's not necessarily so with Him, but see, this comes from relationship. That's not. So we know we've passed out of life. We know we've passed into life. You know you're in the flow of life when you're loving those you can see. What would happen if we were just if this scripture, if this is the only scripture we had, what would happen if this revelation would just explode on the inside of you and you realize that at any given moment anybody could see whether you were living connected or not because of how you're treating those around you? Because this verse is saying that. We know we're in life. How do we know we're in life? You know you're in life when you're loving people. When you're loving people, you're in life. When you're not loving people, you're in death. Or separation. You're disconnected. So the principle is our connection with Him will always be reflected by our connection with each other. Now can you see why it's so important to have authentic community in a local church? And why when we choose not to have authentic community in a local church, what that's really reflecting is we don't have connection or relationship here with Him. Because folks, look, we need to understand this. The word says that God is love, right? And God so loved that He gave. He didn't separate from. He got in the midst of. So therefore we must know this, that the God kind of love always brings us together. Amen? So if we're going to walk in the God kind of love, then it's going to bring us together. It's not going to cause us to separate from one another. So our connection with Him, if we're living connected with Him, we're always going to want to connect with each other. Otherwise, we can't con each other and say, well, I have a connection with Him. Well, that connection would be leading you to connect with those around you. It wouldn't be separating you from them. The sooner we can figure this out and own it, folks, the quicker we're going to come to a place of having authentic community in local churches. Because there are very definite things that reveal where we are in our maturity. It's not just up for, well, this is just how I, hey, don't judge my belief system. It's right. It's only right because your own personal pocket God is telling you you're okay, I'm okay. But if we're really connecting to the person of Him, His love is inclusive. His love is put together. His love is, I don't think so, not today. Our connection with Him will always be reflected in our connection with each other. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. He didn't separate from us. He got involved in the middle of us, right? We ought to lay down our lives. What's the next word? What's the next word?
For.
That means you're not against. See, the God kind of, He's for you. And because He's for you, your interests, He made His interests. And He got in the midst of you. And He's saying likewise, because you have His DNA, you have His nature, you have His, that it should look the same way. You be for, you're for each other. You're not for each other as long as I have time. If it's convenient, I'm for you. But otherwise, you know, I try to fit it in when I have a chance. Paul said this to the Galatian church in Galatians 5. He says, for through love, handshake one another. Is that what it says? It says, through love, serve one another. He says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In that statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But, verse 15, if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. He's talking to a local church. Now, granted, the letter got passed around. But he's talking to a local church. Why would they ever bite and devour one another? Well, because they are living out of principle, not out of relationship. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Hebrews 10, verse 20 says this, for by a new and living way, we went through this last week, through a new and living way which He inaugurated for us. So there's a new and living way of doing things. Through a new and living way which He inaugurated for us, through the veil that is His flesh, that since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near. They said, draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then verse 24 and 25 says this, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling ourselves together as the habit of some is. Why? Because their consciences are screwed up. Because they've let people write things on their conscience that they should have never let write on their conscience. Folks, I don't want any viruses on my hard drive. Because they screw things up for a long time. One thing I've noticed about that kind of junk, I hate it when I go to my home page and all of a sudden some other page comes up. Or I type in an address in my browser bar and it takes me to some random page I didn't even ask for. See, when things are screwed up, you're always going to end up in a wrong place. When your consciences are screwed up, you're not going to consider how to stimulate one another in love and good deeds. You're going to be too busy trying to find a way to get away from one another. But it's only because somebody has written things on your conscience that shouldn't be there. It's not even that they're evil, as far as what we would define as evil. It's the fact that they're just not Him. I love what the Passion Translation says in these verses. It says in verse 22, we've come closer to God and we approach Him with an open heart. Imagine what would happen if the local churches, you could develop a culture of having open hearts. Well, there ain't no way in hell I'm going to do that. Because somebody's going to say something I don't like. Somebody's going to do something I don't like. Somebody's going to say something about me I don't like. Well, therein lies the challenge. Because you're living more connected this way, but you're not connecting with Him. Because the only thing that matters is what is He saying about you. See, when you live here, you can brush this kind of stuff off because people are going to say stuff that's stupid. Because not everybody's living from here. They're not living vertically. They're not living from the inside out. They're living from the outside in. But when you live from the inside out, have you ever noticed that you can't cram mud in a hose? A water hose that's on full blast. You ever notice that? You ever try to clog up a water hose that's on full blast? It doesn't work. So we want to live connected with Him so we keep the water hose on. So the junk of the world can't get crammed down in there and clog it up. He goes on to say, he said, for our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from the accusing conscience And now we're clean and unstained. I love that. What if we could live a life completely unstained from all the garbage that people have tried to download and cram into your conscience? Presentable to God inside and out. As a result of being able to live free and have an unstained conscience, we can live from the place of discovering creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion. What is this? Authentic community. Verse 25, the Passion Translation says this in Hebrews 10. This is not the time to neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. 1 Corinthians 12 says, you can't say to the arm, I have no need of you. You can't, and the other part of the body can't say, I have no need of you. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward. I don't know why I think I'm always going to have these discussions every week. It never seems to happen. But I want to present this to you and let you chew on this all week, and we'll have discussions another time. We've talked about living from principle and practice versus living from relationship. And I want to submit this to you. I heard somebody say this. I thought it was just so fantastic. That holiness is not sinlessness. Everybody say that. Holiness is not sinlessness. It's the ability to see what is worth protecting and then say no to sin. To protect our yes to love. Holiness is not sinlessness. It's the ability to see what is worth protecting and say no to sin and protect our yes to love. Here's the thing. I'm going to go to Revelation 19. We'll close from there. But here's the thing. And maybe this is the reason why down through the decades and centuries, we've had things like grace completely redefined and misdefined. And all it did was turn around and cause more division in the body than, because they fabricated a definition. And they try to live their Christian life according to this definition. And it just screws things up worse. Because none of it's based on connection. It's just based on, he's not keeping track of what I do anymore. What if we understood that what holiness looked like is us valuing our relationship with Him so much that we protected that relationship, so we said no to the things that were going to disconnect that relationship, so that we could protect the yes that is a yes and amen. What if that's what holiness was? What if it had nothing to do with what you did or didn't do? It had to do with the fact that you so loved the relationship. You know, here's the thing. My wife said this to me years ago. She said, you know, when I was growing up, I never wanted to do anything to hurt my parents. I never wanted to do anything to hurt them. And that's what kept me on the right direction. That's somebody that's been raised with a relationship. What if we understood that because everything is based on relationship, what if we understood that we value the relationship. First, it starts between us and Him. So we order our life not because we're trying to do the yeses and the thou shalts, but we're doing it because we want to protect the relationship from all those things that would try to sever that connection. And then from there, we lived our relationships with one another the exact same way. I don't get involved with other girls because I value my relationship with my wife. Besides that, you know, I've heard it this way, you know, hey, everything's going to sag and drag at some point, so you might as well stick with what you got. You know, I'm not going through a midlife crisis. I'm not going through a midlife crisis where, you know, I got to go get me a 20-year-old but the point I'm making is I don't do those things because I value the relationship I have. And I'm going to say no to everything that's going to try to sever that. So we cultivate our relationship with Father this way. He conducts how we live and interact with Him. Because He wants to be in our midst. Everything we do is to facilitate His presence. We're protecting His presence. We're facilitating His involvement in our life. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's about I want to value that relationship, protect that relationship, because I don't want to hurt my dad. But you look at my life growing up. I was telling you about my wife. You look at my life growing up. And my life growing up, I didn't have that. It's not about, you know, anybody else. It's just, I just didn't have, I don't know what that is. So I went off and had a spirit of stupid quite often because there wasn't that element of, I just don't want to hurt my parents. It wasn't there. I didn't know what that is. But I'm telling you, that's where most Christians live their Christian life. They only know Him in concept. So they don't have this thought of, I want to protect this relationship. And so they think twice about all this other stuff that's trying to get their attention, trying to draw them away. They don't think about that. They just kind of go off and do it. And then they bring in some twisted version of what they think grace is and say, well, this is why it's not really that bad of a deal. And that's the wrong definition to begin with. The bottom line is it's about your relationship with Him. We ought to not want to hurt Him. Is this making sense at all?
Yeah.
It's a totally different realm, guys, than I ever knew. I never had this understanding about the gospel, about Jesus, about the Father. None of this. It was always a very business, you the man, and I know I'm supposed to conduct myself like this, so I'm gonna try to be the best Christian I can. But it was never about a relationship. Everything that comes from Him is out of relationship. It was initiated from relationship. He so loved you, He got in the middle of you. So it is with authentic community. If we'll recognize the things that are valuable to us in relationship first with Him. And if you do that, then you're going to know that the person sitting next to you is valuable to Him. So we would rather have that relationship. So we watch what we allow to get in the middle of that and sever it. I love these verses, and I'm done with this. I don't know if I've shown you this or not. I don't remember. If I have, smile and nod, and it'd be good to see it again anyway. But how many have ever read that verse that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy? I've heard that verse my entire life. And I can tell you, and I'll admit to you right here now, I had no idea what that verse meant until 3 weeks ago. Revelation 19, verse 6 and 7. See if you can spot the context of the verse we just talked about. It says, "Then I heard something like the voice of great multitudes." This is John speaking. The Lord was showing him this. And it says, like the sound of many waters and like the sound of a mighty peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready." Verse 8 and 9. It says, "It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are true words of God." Look at verse 10. Then it says, "Then I fell at his feet to worship him." He's standing next to an angel. And the angel said to me, "Do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brother who hold the testimony of Jesus." The testimony of Jesus. Everybody say the testimony of Jesus. Have you ever wondered what the testimony of Jesus is? Before you answer that, because before 3 weeks ago, I would have answered the same thing you're getting ready to answer. It doesn't say the testimony about Jesus. It says the testimony of Him. He said, "You hold the testimony of Jesus." He says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Well, what is the testimony of Jesus? Well, Paul tells you this. The Holy Spirit tells you this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. It says this, and he puts this in the context of husbands and wives. But I'll submit to you, it's in the context of every human being with every human being. Because everything's based on relationship. Notice what it says. It says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives be your own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loves the church and gave Himself up for it." Look at verse 26. "So that He might set apart, sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with..." The text says the word, but it's actually the word rhema. It means that which He's speaking. What is the testimony of Jesus? The testimony of Jesus is that you are spotless, without wrinkle, or any such thing, that you're holy and blameless. That's the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus that you're holy, spotless, and blameless is the core message of anything that is prophetic. How we talk to each other, how we interact with each other, the relationships we value. The only reason it gets screwed up, folks, is because we put our values in place of His. And we want people to march to our beat of our drum. But none of that is relationship-oriented. It's all about principles and practices. But what if we as human beings, what if the body of Christ, what if we could demonstrate this amongst ourselves, number one, with Him, number one, amongst ourselves, number two, and out in the world with everybody else, number three. And that was this, that since the center of everything that's coming out of Jesus' mouth is He sees you holy and blameless without spot or wrinkle. What if we treated each other that way? What if we treated our spouses that way? What if we treated our acquaintances that way? What if we treated our bosses that way? What if we treated our strangers you meet at the mall, Home Depot, Safeway, wherever you are? What if we treated them that way? What if we treated them out of relationship with Him, because we know that if we're living connected, we're going to live connected? Which means we'll never say something about someone else that we wouldn't hear coming out of Jesus' mouth. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophetic. That's why all this prophetic junk that says, you know, that God's going to judge California, it's going to get burned up and get, you know, thrown into the sea, or he's going to destroy New York, or, you know, just wait till he gets a hold of Las Vegas. All that junk, that's not coming from relationship. Because that's not the spirit of Jesus. That's not the testimony of Jesus. Every one of those places has a history in the mind of Daddy. He knew that region of the country, and he knew his plans and purposes for that region of the country long before there ever was a human being to say something was evil. So let's find out what that is. If we want to become an influence in our city, folks, the best thing we can do is begin to pray and ask God, what's in your heart for this city? And begin to pray that out. Begin to prophesy those things over our city. Begin to declare those things that are the testimony of Jesus over our city. Begin to declare those things over people that you know. Begin to declare those things over your spouse. Begin to declare those things over your friends, over strangers. Because it's all birthed out of relationship. And folks, look, I know that's scary. I told you, man, I used to be like, I would rather just go lock myself in my front room and have 87 books on my couch and just spend my whole life reading books and studying books. And it's nice and safe, man. This is the greatest place in the world. I'm not growing. I'm acquiring knowledge. Paul said that all that's going to do is take you to a place of now you're functioning from principles and practices, and it puffs you up, and then you look through everybody else through that filter, and nobody's going to measure up. It's also not examinable either. See, that's real convenient. That's why it's so convenient to have your own personal private pocket God, because he always sounds like you, he always agrees with you, and no one else can judge whether or not you're right or not. When you walk in relationship to Him, Holy Spirit says that how we treat one another will directly, immediately tell everyone what your connection is. That's sobering, but that's also pretty awesome. Because if we value this relationship, then we get to receive what this relationship flows out from that. He begins to tell you. He knows he can trust your heart to show you things. He'll not only give you a discernment about what's going on in certain situations, but he knows that once you have the discernment, you're going to turn around and go back to him and say, Father, what is in your heart about this? You're showing me this for a reason. And we'll get into this a little later on, but discernment and revelation are two different things. Everybody can do this. Not everybody can do this, because this comes from the Spirit of God. But if he can trust our hearts because our hearts are his heart, if he can trust how we're going to treat each other because we're living connected, and we're going to guard the connection with him and therefore guard the connection with one another, then you're going to start seeing. That's why Paul said, let me show you the best way to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Live here. In the body, connected together. Folks, this is more than just calling each other. This is more than just emailing each other. This is more than just pulling the lid off the basket and going, here I am. This is about how you make a choice to see each other around you all the time. Does it match him? That's a little harder to do. We had questions and answers, you know, some weeks back, and everybody's talking about transparency and this and that. That doesn't necessarily make authentic community. That just makes vulnerability. But without authentic community, vulnerability is going to go away real quick. We don't want a culture that's just vulnerable, because that means everybody's just vulnerable. And then people get a spirit of stupid on them, and they start damaging each other, and then we're worse than we were. We want relationship that flows from him, that we value the connection between him and us. We won't violate that connection, number one. And we value this connection, whoever it is, spouse, friends, boss, whoever it is, that we're gonna say no to anything that tries to sever that. That's authentic community. You guys getting out of this? All right, everybody stand. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for everybody in this room. And I thank you for teaching us how to cultivate authentic community in this church. But not just in this church, because it's not just about these four walls. Being able to take what we understand is authentic community and be able to create that outside of our four walls in the lives of everybody that we come in contact with. Since we're living out of connection with you and you're constantly telling us who we are, and we understand that the testimony of Jesus is the central thing, then we understand that anybody we come in contact with, we get the privilege of bringing them into the reality of who you say they are. And Father, I just thank you and praise you that you're developing us in these things. And because of that, we're going to learn and we're going to grow and we're going to develop and we're going to cultivate this relationship, and we're going to learn to recognize those things that we can say no to that would sever that relationship, because we've said yes to you. We say yes to the relationships around us. And I would ask you, Lord, that as we develop in these things, that you cause this culture just to blow up all over the city. Because this city is crying out to know who you say they are. But the minute they hear who you say they are, they'll run to you. Father, I thank you for ideas and wisdom and creative things and things that are in your heart that maybe were prayed out by people 75, 80 years ago that you have in your heart for this city. And I thank you that you will cause those things to be downloaded to us so that we can pray those things out, we can walk those things out, we can be your hands, be your feet, be your energy. And you can bring those things to pass that have been in your heart forever. My heart's desire, Lord, is that you draw every single person in this room into your heart. Out of their principles and out of their practices and into your heart. And they'll discover you, maybe even for the first time, outside of a surrogate. And the end result of that will be every time we run to you, we get invigorated. Every time we run to you and we're tired, we get refreshed. Every time we run to you, all those things in our natural life, you empower us, you set us ablaze, you energize us, you lift us up. There's no burnout in you. There's no weariness in you. There's no disappointment in you. There's no angry in you. Along those lines, there's none of that stuff in you. It all lifts us up. And I just ask that you draw every single person into you and give them a new vision for their life, a new passion for you and a new passion for their life. And when those external things try to come and settle down on them, they don't walk in ignorance and not know what to do and think they have to do with a bunch of things in the natural. But they know exactly where to go to turn the faucet back on. And I just love you and praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.